So tonight, I want you to just engage with me in the spirit, stay in faith. The Lord will do amazing things in your life. I say the Lord will do amazing things. You don't look like you're excited. You look like you're thinking, you look like you think I'm going to preach for 2 hours. I won't. Make it count. Hallelujah. I said, make it count tonight. Glory be to God. I'm going to be praying at the end of my short message. I want to pray, lay hands on people. It may be you. It may be somebody in your family. It may be someone who has connected with you and shared with you a need that they have. I'm expecting miracles tonight. And the Lord gave us a sure word. He said he would do miracles. He would do impossible things. That's why I had the praise team repeat that song they sang. I had them repeat it. They are going to sing it every night in this conference, every service, because God is doing it all again. You know, I'm hearing it a lot more now. People are saying, no, he's changed. He's a different God. You know, people say, well, you know, this is different from the way it used to be. No, it's not. No, it's not. It really just depends. At the end of the day, it boils down to what your priorities are. If what your priority is something physical or something natural or things that maybe most people are running after, and you think, you know, God is limited and he doesn't do stuff like that anymore, then you put your focus where you think your focus needs to be. But if you are like us and you believe that this God has never changed, is the same God. I believe God still heals. I believe God heals. I believe God heals the sick. I believe he does. I believe God can. I believe God can raise the dead. I do believe he can. I absolutely believe that. I believe that with all my heart, that God can change a life in a moment of time. I believe that. I don't know what you believe, but I believe God can transform. He can change your story in just a matter of minutes. I do believe that. I believe God can open doors. I do believe that. I believe he's a God of open heavens. He can send rain in a time of drought. I believe that's who our God is. He's still able to do things like that. He's not changed. He's not changed. God can walk through a situation that everybody has given up on, and God can touch that situation, and everybody's going, whoa, 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 whoa. Because he's God all by himself. Do not allow the religion of men, the church has become very religious. Do not allow the religion of men to trap you in a godless experience. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let the experience of people determine and judge what God is able to do in your own life. So I'm going to pray for people when I'm done, after my short message. And then I'm going to pray over all these prayer needs. As I'm speaking, my short message, if there's someone here who has something that you believe you want the Lord to do in your life and you want prayers over it, just you don't have to put your name on it. Just write, get a piece of paper or something, write, and just have one of our ministers drop it up. Or I'll tell you when you can bring it at the end of the message before we pray over those needs. But it's befitting that I start out from Revelation chapter 3, where the Lord spoke to us early in the month of June, prophetically. The Lord was speaking, before I talk about impossible things and the Lord doing impossible things, the Lord spoke to us from Revelation chapter 3. He sent a few messages to 7 churches in the last days in the book of Revelation. And the very last church on that list was the church of Laodicea. You don't like the message the Lord sent to that church. You don't want that to be your message. But unfortunately, that would be the message the Lord might send to a lot of believers living in our time today. The message the Lord sent to us, his people, was the one he sent to the church in Philadelphia from verse 7 of chapter 3. This is the book of Revelations. It says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he to he that is holy, he that is true, and he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. He said, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, but they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved thee. And then he said, because you have kept the word of my patience. That's you he's talking to. You remember that P word? Because you persevered. Because you persevered. Say, because you kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation that is coming upon all the earth. The Lord spoke to us very clearly. 4 different promises he made to us through this church in Philadelphia. Number 1, he said, because you have persevered, you held on to my name, and you held on to my word, he said, I will open doors to you that no man can shut. I've said this twice already, but I want to say it a third time. When you feel hemmed in life, and you feel like there's no way out, there is no miracle and no blessing as significant as the blessing of an open door. The Lord said, I will open doors to you. Some people are expecting the miracle of an open door tonight. Feel trapped in some hedged-in, hemmed-in situation with no freedom and no way out in sight. And the Lord said, I'll give you an open door. Amen. The second thing is, he said, I'll give you the upper hand over your adversaries. He said some of those adversaries are external, but some of the adversaries are internal. I know I said it the last Sunday I preached on this here in the Cleveland Church. Someone says, but Pastor, I know external adversaries and enemies, but who are internal enemies? Well, I gave you one. There could be many other, but one of the internal adversaries we all deal with sometimes have to do with our physical beings. You suddenly wake up and symptoms come up on your body. That's something that's taking territory in your life that's a stranger that has no reason to be there. And the Lord said, I'll give you the upper hand over the adversaries, whether they're external or internal. And then the third promise the Lord made to that church in Philadelphia was, he said, I will demonstrate my love for you. I really love that. He said, I will demonstrate my love for you. I'll show the world how much I love you. It's not just going to be talk. It's not just going to be in writing letters. I will show the world how much I love you. I'll show the world that you are the apple of my eyes. That's the third promise he made. And then the fourth and the last promise he made, he said, I will keep you and I will carry you through the difficulties, the trials, the time of trial and testing that is coming. I know I've said this before. Do not pray against the time of trial and testing because it's coming. Do not pray against it because it's coming. As sure as you and I live, we will go through seasons, times of trials and testings. But the Lord said, don't worry about it. He said, because I will carry you through it. He said, I will sustain you through it. I will hold you. And even when you don't feel like standing, even when you don't know how to stand, the Lord said, don't worry about it. I will carry you on my shoulders. I will carry you on my shoulders. Hallelujah. All of this are glorious promises, but maybe none of that has anything to do with you. Well, this weekend the Lord says, I want to do some impossible things in your life. Yeah. One of the things I'm going to need you to do with me through this journey that starts tonight I've said it before, I don't know how long it goes on for. You know, whenever I get an opportunity to preach, I'm coming right back to preach on this because it's a word the Lord burned into my heart from heaven. I know it. Last year's Open Heavens message was, how many people remember the theme was the faith that wins? The faith that wins. It was a word from heaven. And I know I started preaching it during the Open Heavens and preaching right through the rest of the year. I'm preaching sometimes even. In fact, part of our theme for 2019 was attached to that message. He says, I guarantee you victory. Amen. Right? Yes. What our theme for 2019 is our year of accelerated miracles and guarantee. Where is the guarantee victory? It's coming from the faith that wins. Because the Lord burnt it into my heart. And he burned it into my heart in a most perilous, most difficult season. In a most perilous, most difficult season. And the Lord said, if you will keep faith alive, like Sarah, not just to conceive seed, not just to have a dream, but if you will keep faith alive and keep that faith alive, he said, you will give birth. He said, things will come forth for you. Yes. Things will happen for you. Yes. And there might be days when you wake up and you don't feel like getting up. Yeah. There might be days and you get up, you don't feel like carrying that pregnancy. The Lord said, if you will keep faith alive, even in your most difficult moments, the Lord said, I will see to it that you give birth. Yes. Somebody's going to give birth in this ministry this weekend. I said somebody's going to give birth this weekend in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are dreams that are going to be birthed forth. So bear with me. I'm going to start ministering on it tonight as briefly as I can. And I'm going to keep on going through the rest of the year. I'll just touch little parts of it as the Lord increases that revelation. Now one thing I want you to do for me beginning tonight is I want you to engage very strongly the dreamer within you. I want you to engage very strongly. Believers have been so beaten down that they don't know how to dream anymore. Most Christians do not know how to dream. Most Christians have now settled for a mundane life that, you know, we just want to get to the end of the month. We just want to survive. God said, I want you to engage the dreamer within you. Amen. Because I created you to dream. Amen. God created you to dream. Yes. The way God creates is through dreams. If there is no dream, there is no creation. The way God advances man, the way God advances his kingdom is through dreams. Is through people actively engaging the dreamer within them. Amen. There is a better you somewhere ahead of you. There is a you that has not yet experienced anything from your past. There is something that God wants to do in your future that you have no clue about. You've never been there yet. Hallelujah. There are certain things that the Lord has already put within you that are supposed to be incubated, that are supposed to bring forth something that has never been seen. That's how every miracle in the Word of God came to be. That's how you are here today. That's how this ministry exists today. That's how our lives exist today. That's how your job, your car, your house. That's how man went to the moon. Somebody dreamt about it. Somebody was not satisfied with this mundane existence. We have all we need. America is the best nation in the world. No, they said, can we go to the moon? And man went to the moon. It was a dream. It started as a dream. I want you to engage your dreamer. I want you to engage your dreamer. Through all of this weekend, I want you to engage your dreamer. Because God wants to do some amazing things in your life. God wants to turn your world completely around. God wants to stir the pot of your life. God wants to do things that you have never experienced before. God wants to stir your existence. God wants to radically stir your existence and do things that you have never thought about. Most people cannot imagine God doing something impossible in their lives. That's why Paul said in Acts chapter 26, verse 8, I think he said to the people in his audience, he said, why is it thought an incredible thing that God will raise the dead? That's why they asked them. So why is it thought an incredible thing that God will raise the dead? There are some translations that help us better appreciate that. And one particular translation that I love says, why is it we think God can't do something impossible? Why is it we think God can't do something impossible? Why? I want you to notice the focus there. He said thought. The thought is in the mind. It's in the mind. The thinking happens in the mind. You remember, in the same vein, God asked, you know, one time the Lord made a promise to Sarah, was talking to Abraham. Sarah overheard that promise in the tent and started laughing. And God asked Abraham in Genesis, I think it's chapter 18, I think it's verse 14, if I'm not mistaken. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Some translations help us. They say, do you think anything is too hard for the Lord? I want you to focus through this weekend as we go and through the rest of the year. I want you to focus on the role that your mind plays in eliciting the impossible works of God. Faith always begins from the heart. The Bible says man believes with the heart, but faith is executed through the mind. The mind. God cannot do in your life beyond what you can think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The imagination of your heart, the word imagination is from the root word image. Image. The pictures of your mind determine the future of your life. If you can't imagine carrying your baby, you may never have that baby. If you can't imagine coming out of debt, you may never come out of debt. If you can't imagine doing something great in your life, you may never do anything great. If you can't imagine advancing in your future, you may never advance. Everything works through the imaging in your mind. That's why what God said in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, I got to stop very soon here. Are you engaging your dreamer? I say, are you engaging your dreamer? Yes. Keep that dreamer engaged with me all through this weekend. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. I said hallelujah. Yes. Because God is going to use that dreamer in this weekend. We're going to paint pictures. I already started mine. You are going to paint pictures of your future. Yes. You are going to paint pictures of your life. Yes. 10 years from today. Yes. 15 years from today. Yes. 20 years from today. There are dreams that God invested in your heart when you were a little child. I want you to bring those dreams back. See, one of the things the devil has done, the devil has killed the dreamer in most believers. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's actually talking not only about the heart, but it's also talking about the mind. Most believers' minds have become crippled. You know what a cripple is? A cripple is someone who can't walk. They have 2 feet, but they can't walk. Most believers' minds have become crippled. They have a mind, but their mind can't produce. Your mind was given you to birth your future. Your mind was given you to produce the next level, to produce the next season, to produce the next favor. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that God can do something, and if you don't see God doing that thing, you may never experience it in your life. If you don't believe that God can bring you from where you are to the next season of your life, you may never get to that next season of your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says in that Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6, I think it was the story of the Tower of Babel in the Amplified. He said, and now he was looking at people, human beings, who came together with a mind to do something that had never been done before. It was their mind, not their spirit. He looked at people, and all these people were united by one purpose. That purpose was, we are going to do something that has never been done before. They were not godly people. It was not their spirit. It was their mind. And when they came together as one, they became empowered, and God looked down at them and said, wow, nothing they have imagined will be impossible unto them. Where is this imagination happening? It's in your mind. It's in your mind. As I close tonight, I want you to imagine God doing something great in your future. I want you to imagine God enlarging your coast. I want you to imagine God taking you to a place where you have never been before. I want you to imagine God transforming your life, translating you. I want you to imagine things out of your spirit and out of your heart. I want you to bat them and paint pictures on your mind. Those of you who are parents, who have children, I want you to imagine the future of your little children. They are little children right now, but I want you to imagine their future. I want you to build and paint their future. I want you to imagine the future of your marriage. I know most people have broken down marriages and families. I know that. It's the most popular thing in the world. But I want you to imagine God making your marriage shine like a star. I want you to imagine God blessing you in every way you can think of. I want you to imagine operating at a different level in life generally, a higher level of wisdom, a higher level of understanding. Glory to God. Glory to God. Had an experience a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord said to me, I was talking to someone, and we had had similar experiences, grew up in the same place, and the Lord gave me this overwhelming wisdom over the situation they were dealing with, and for me, it was easy. I didn't even have to stress over it. I just pulled out that wisdom and gave it to them, and they said, huh? But how did you know that? I said, I don't know. I just know that. And they put that wisdom to work, and it produced a miracle in their lives. He said, how did you know that? I said, I don't know. I just know it. And later on, afterwards, the Lord tickled me. I laughed about this. The Lord said, it has nothing to do with geography, nothing to do with biology, nothing to do with age, status, all. It has to do with how much of me you have allowed in your existence through your journey. That's why Joseph, at the age of 30, was seeing stars, but his brothers were seeing dust. They were all older than him. Joseph was seeing stars. Every dream Joseph had stars, the sun, the moon. The brothers didn't even have dreams. If they ever had any dream, I guarantee you the dream would have been dust. It would have been bad. They would have seen bird, and they would have seen themselves packing dung, sheep dung, and they would have seen themselves cleaning stuff. That's but Joseph, every time Joseph had a dream, he saw stars.
He was imagining there was something happening in that little boy at age 30. Even his father, who loved him so much and gave him a coat of many colors, one time he had this dream and he told his father. He had told his father all the other dreams. His father didn't mind. He said, okay, good, good, okay, all right. Praise God. All right, good, good boy, get him another coat of many colors. Then one day he said, Dad, I actually saw this dream, sun and moon bowing. I said, I think that's you and Mama bowing before. His father said, stop that now, stop. But you know it happened? Do you know it happened? Do you know it happened? It happened. His father and mother, he became the rescue for his entire family. God used them to bring them out of captivity and bring them into a land called Goshen, where there was no lack, there was no affliction, there was no need. It began from years ago when he had those dreams. Hallelujah. But what? How do is you have to engage. I got to stop. I want to share some things with you this weekend. You are going to have to engage the things of God at a higher level. You have to submerge. You have to take your mind and give it to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do a work in your mind, and then take that mind and put it in the Word of God. Submerge it in the Word of God. That's why meditation is so powerful. Because anything you hear a lot, you begin to believe. You begin to believe. And it forms your future. Let me close right here. You remember where in Mark? Yeah, you guys can come on in. Where I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Thank you. You know, in Mark chapter 9, you remember in verse 23, where this man had brought his son to the disciples. The Bible says he had a dumb and deaf spirit, right? So he brought his son to the disciples. The disciples prayed. Nothing happened. They couldn't really help the boy. And then, the man was so overwhelmed. Finally, Jesus came. When Jesus came, he asked them, so what was it? What was all that commotion about? They said, this man. So the man came to Jesus, said, Lord, I brought my son, and he has a dumb and deaf spirit. He said, and this spirit, and Jesus asked him one question. He said, how long has it been? How long has it been since? This is very important. How long has it been since? He said, of a child. The man said, of a child. Of a child. And then he described what that thing did to him from childhood. He said, we'll tear him and throw him in the fire, and he'll be foaming at the mouth, and he'll be da-da-da. You know what? That man, that father, saw that thing year after year, month after month, day after day, from childhood of that child, from when that boy was like a little 4-5 year old. Until now, he's 18. That man has seen that thing for over 10 years repeatedly. And that image determined what he could believe. It determined what he could believe. Jesus said, he said, after he described this, he said, if you can, just help us. If you can, have compassion. Jesus said, no, not me, you. He said, because if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. But wait a minute, how is he going to believe when for more than 10 years, the only image he has ever seen is this boy being torn apart, being broken, being hurt by this affliction, this epileptic thing? How is he going to believe? So he broke down and said to Jesus, he said, I believe, but please help my unbelief. How do you believe and unbelieve at the same time? How do you believe and unbelieve at the same time? But this is what he said.
Have you seen that in your scripture ever before? Mark chapter 9 verse 23. He said, Lord, I believe, but please help. Well, how can you believe and unbelieve at the same time, in the same verse? Because what he's saying is, in my heart, I believe you can do something. But in my mind, I have seen this from when this boy was a little child. I have seen this picture over and over and over and over again. The dreamer within me is dead. The believer that can make me turn the page and believe that this can be a normal child. That thing that can make me see him as a regular living human being. That thing that can help me see him and imagine him as a healthy boy is gone. So please help my unbelief. Jesus said, don't worry about it. We won't even deal with you right now. Bring the boy. Jesus healed the boy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus healed the boy. Would you stand to your feet with me?